It's time to get all set for Sunday, a podcast for busy and distracted Catholics with your hosts, Scott Williams and Jeff Traylor.
When I hear the coffee brewing, I think, what the heck we doing? Because I got barely any sleep last night. As the diaper bag I pack with Hot Wheels dollies and some snacks, I say a prayer there'll be a seat in the crime room this time. It's alright, cause I'm all set for Sunday. It's alright, cause I'm all set for. It's alright, cause I'm all set for. It's alright, cause I'm all set for Sunday.
Welcome to All Set for Sunday, a podcast for busy and distracted Catholics to be a little more prepared for Sunday Mass. Let's dig right into today's episode, Jeff.
Hello, Scott.
Father nice Christian is here. How about the two-minute drill?
Hello, Father Christian Rabb. Our banterless podcast, per your request.
Here we go. Can you please get started?
All right, so last time you gave us some feedback. That you
don't even say it was feedback. He just made it very clear to us. He doesn't listen to the beginning of our podcast
or the end
of our podcast.
Just the middle.
Because he doesn't like the parts where it's us talking.
And no, it's not.
Our
it's
personality
not about you.
Being enjoyed.
I always think you guys have great insights once we start talking about the scriptures.
Yeah.
I'm just not into opening.
Before that, none of your insights.
I'm not into opening banter of any podcast. I mean, it's not specific to you.
Would
all
you consider,
podcast
like,
opening banter. I just don't have time for that.
Would you consider like the liturgy of the word to be banter?
No, I do not. Sometimes you banter through the liturgy of the word.
Oh,
let's get times. Started.
All right. We already did, actually.
Okay.
We're recording for a little bit now.
All right.
Not when you were ranking our guests, but I mean, never mind.
just kidding. Which Sunday is it?
Fifth Sunday. It's the fifth Sunday of Easter.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Fifth Sunday of Easter. Right into it.
Father Meyer did the Alleluia.
I know. I was going to save it for the small.
Oh, okay. Cool.
No banter.
Sorry.
Scripture only.
Go.
Fifth Sunday in Easter, our first reading comes from Acts chapter 9. So in Acts, Saul, who is now Paul,
mm-hmm.
right, he's been converted, faces some skepticism from the disciples in Jerusalem.
Okay.
But Barnabas steps in, vouches for Paul, and then boldly preaches in Jesus' name. So because of this, the church experiences this time of peace and growth throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria. It really focuses on how Paul's transformation and his conversion helped unify the early church.
Great.
Bring some peace and focus there. Our responsorial psalm, I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people, or...
Hallelujah.
And, as you alluded to before, mm-hmm. we did get a video this week. Father Meyer took our challenge. We owe him a polo shirt.
Yep.
We need to make an All Set for Sunday logo to put on a polo shirt.
Or maybe we just write Hallelujah on it.
Yes. But Father Meyer took our challenge and... Yes. Send us the video. You can go to All Saints Parish for Sunday of Easter, and you can see them sing the Alleluia as the responsorial psalm.
I thought it was very nice.
It was.
They did
beautiful.
A great job.
Yeah. He didn't even pre-preach before the psalm either.
Mm. Maybe.
Maybe. No banter. Just straight to the psalm. And then our second reading comes from the first letter of John, chapter 3. So John's encouraging believers to show their love, not just in words, but in actions, that by loving one another, they can keep God's commandments. They show this, or the believers demonstrate that as children of God, they see a reassurance in their relationship with him as well. And so through their obedience and faith, they abide in God who dwells within them in the Holy Spirit. And it reinforces that intimate connection that believers have with God through their love and obedience.
Beautiful. How about that gospel?
And then our gospel comes from John chapter 15. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in him and me. Or unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People who gather them and throw them into a fire will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thanks, love Jeff.
It. Yeah. Love all it. Right,
Peter. My favorite kind of fruit, bear fruit.
Bear fruit.
Yeah.
Father,
rawr.
Father Christian, did Jeff get anything wrong in today's summaries? Or no? 100%?
100%. A plus. Good job.
Was it banterless?
Yeah, it was relatively banter-free. Relatively.
Thank you.
That almost came out your nose. Mm-hmm. All right, Father Christian, what are you preaching on this weekend? You out in Jasper?
I'm at St. Meinrad because I'm here many days of the week teaching.
Uh-huh.
But
sorry for the seasickness to our watchers here.
What?
I was telling those watching us on YouTube to apologize for their seasickness.
Oh, sorry.
Shift around in your zero gravity chair.
I teach here right now. I'm teaching 4 days a week, so
okay.
I will be at Jasper on the weekend. I guess what I'm drawn to in this readings, and I don't have my homily all fleshed out, but obviously there's a few nods here to the Holy Spirit, which we get in the first reading and the second reading especially. And the thing about Easter season,
mm-hmm,
is you're kind of getting like three stories at once. It's kind of cool. You know, we get the story of the resurrection, the time in between, the resurrection and the ascension. That is especially happening during the octave of Easter. Every day of the 8 days that follow Easter Sunday, we get the gospel of Jesus' risen appearance. And then that doesn't all just disappear, but they kind of start to run out of stories of Jesus appearing. And so we eventually get stories in the gospel that are then going to go back to the time of Jesus' public ministry. But those stories tend to be focused a lot on, the fruits of his saving mystery. Like they really do point forward again to the resurrection, the point to the mystery of salvation in a special way. So you get stories from the public ministry, you get stories from the Easter period. And then the other really fun thing about this season is we get the post-Pentecost stories. During the first reading, we get all that stuff from the Acts of the Apostles that's really telling the story of the early church immediately following the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost.
Okay.
So if we track the first reading during the Easter season, it's Acts of the Apostles, like, all the way. So it's really telling us the story of the church post-Pentecost, which is kind of wild because Pentecost is what ends the Easter season.
Mm.
So most of my homilies...
That's called foreshadowing.
Yeah, exactly. Most of my homilies so far in Easter have been looking backwards, but we can also kind of look forwards during the season because of that first reading. In a way, it's preparing us for Pentecost. And so we can look backwards and forwards during the Easter season. We can look backwards to the Paschal mystery, the death and resurrection, but we're also looking forward to the receiving of the Holy Spirit and preparing our hearts for that. And so that kind of preparation idea really kicks in the period between Ascension and Pentecost, or especially at the end of the Easter season. We're not quite there yet, But I don't know. I think probably I'm going to go ahead and leap ahead a little bit this weekend, just because I haven't been preaching too much on the Acts of the Apostles. And I want people to think about how, or I want to help people think about how the Holy Spirit is what we're looking forward to in this season. And then the Holy Spirit is really how we get connected to the saving mysteries of Jesus that we celebrated at Easter, which is really awesome to think about, because those saving mysteries that we celebrated, like in the Triduum, you know, in our minds, they're very tied to like historical days, right? I mean, you've got Holy Thursday, the institution of the Eucharist. You have Good Friday, the death on the cross. You have Easter Sunday, the empty tomb. And these are like very clear moments in history when really important things happened. On the cross, Christ overcame sin. But we're looking forward to the reception of the Holy Spirit, which is going to give us the power by the presence of Jesus in us to overcome sin. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, in a sense, we receive the fruits of the Triduum. On Easter Sunday.
Wait, back up. Say that again. When we receive the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, we will receive what we need to receive all the victory that Jesus won.
Okay.
The fruits of the Triduum is the victory that Jesus
won. Like, if you think about, if we think about it, like, there are three big problems in salvation history: sin, death, and division.
Okay.
And in the resurrection, Jesus has victory over death. On the cross, he has victory over sin. He atones for sin, but he's also completely faithful in himself and obedient to the Father, so he never sins. So it's the ultimate victory against sin. I would argue that on Holy Thursday, he overcomes division through the institution of the Eucharist and gives us the way to maintain communion with each other and with God.
Mm.
But he does all these things, like, looking backwards, he did these things. But how does his victory reach us? It reaches us by the power of the Holy Spirit through the sacraments, because the sacraments and the Holy Spirit are tied together. But by the Holy Spirit, we have baptism. So we are now able to be, we're now able to conquer sin by being united to Christ through his victory over sin.
Okay.
And death. We think about how by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the Eucharist. So we have the risen Lord in our heart. And now we can overcome death, you know, because the risen one is in our heart. We can't be held down by death either. The one who has victory over sin is in our heart by the power of grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the reception of the Eucharist. So we have the strength from Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome sin. We have the man of communion, and we have, in fact, the instrument of communion in the Eucharist that will reach us, but it reaches us by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can overcome division. So I was just thinking, like, in this season, we're looking backwards to all of Christ's victories, but we're also looking forward to the secret ingredient, which is going to allow us to have victory with Jesus, if that makes sense.
Which is the Holy Spirit.
Which is the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So that's kind of where my thoughts have been. And then, like, in these readings, we see, like, just how valuable the Holy Spirit is. I mean, in the second reading, we hear about John telling, like, by having the Spirit in your heart is what helps you to be in communion with the Lord and avoid sin. You think about how Paul has the Holy Spirit in the first reading, gives him the courage to, like, face all these persecutions because he's no longer afraid of death because he has the Spirit of the risen Lord inside of him. And then the third reading is about the vine and the branches. So that brings us back to the mystery of communion. So it's like by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have victory over sin, death, and division, because the Holy Spirit links us to Christ's victory over sin, death, and division.
And we're also sent forth through that, right? I'm kind of thinking like in the world of like Pentecost and being sent forth, and what's that sacrament that you go to when you're in middle school?
Confirmation.
Yeah, confirmation?
Did you just blank on confirmation? Do you used to run confirmation programs?
Yeah, pretty much.
Of course, the Holy Spirit. It's a gift and a task. That's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
So, because
you just can't take it. Like you're given these gifts to do something with, and not
right,
just
right. It's a gift and a task. So we are saved through the power of the Holy Spirit, or we experience the fullness of salvation by that reception. And so we are overcoming sin, overcoming division, overcoming death. And of course that task, you could say that tasks us to proclaim the good news, build up the community of the church, just be men and women of mission. I think that's a good way to think about it. Yeah.
So, but I think that the task is, it's outward in that way, but it's also like part of the task is to be like, we must receive. Mm-hmm. Like it's not a passive reception, right? Like confirmation is about, we receive the ability to receive the fullness of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but we must actively work to receive those gifts as well.
Yeah.
They're there for the taking. They're there for, but it is active, and it's a task in both directions. Yeah.
Well, no, that's a good way to put it. I mean, not to get too like academic, but which I can't avoid.
We know.
The church talks about like the two ways that the sacraments work. So like
form and
the words are the ex opere operato and the ex opere operatus.
Why didn't you just say that?
The words right on
the ex opere
operato. Exactly. So what that means is like the sacraments are always effective and they're not always effective. In other words,
yes.
What does that mean?
When the priest baptizes you, it's effective.
Okay.
Like you're claimed by Jesus Christ. It's effective. Yes. But in another way, it's not effective unless you cooperate with it.
Okay. The free will side of that.
That's what we mean by the operantis. Like what you have to actively receive the graces to, to do something with it. So, yeah, I mean, you can put a bunch of gas in your car and never step on the gas pedal, right?
Hmm.
So, that actively receiving is that it's not only a gift, but you're called to cooperate and bear fruit with the grace in your life. Yeah.
There's that bear fruit thing again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bear fruit.
Yeah.
And the fruits of the Holy Spirit are, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are, they help us to accomplish our mission in the church and in the world.
Through the ex operato divided.
Yeah,
that's through the ex operato.
Yeah, ex operatist.
Yes.
I think you're not pronouncing it right, but it's okay.
Oh yes, you're right on. Ex opere operantis.
I like it.
So tell me a little bit about the break down the difference between the octave of Easter and the rest of the Easter season. It's still Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's still Easter. And I thought that was an interesting distinction between the readings being different.
Yeah.
But what else are we called to do differently during the Easter season as a whole? Because I think the vast majority of people out there, Easter is put away and put into a tote and done for. But
not me.
I'm gonna do it for me in my house. Because I wanna pull something up.
Speaking of which, your house is on Zillow. I saw it come up.
Oh, yeah. Listed today.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can hold on one sec, I'm trying to pull something up.
He's pulling something up.
Okay, the Easter octave, my understanding is that even in the Jewish tradition.
It's Wikipedia.
Yeah. I see the white glare on your glasses.
That's what Google told you about this.
No, that there is a thing like that the octave idea comes from Easter, that some, or from Jewish tradition, some festivals are so big that they can't be done in one day. That kind of makes sense, right? In an ancient context where you have people coming from all over the place. You don't want to be done in a day, right? They're making pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So Passover was actually a day, but it was also kind of a week.
Okay.
Is
that similar to like the 9 days of mourning? That
I might be connected. I don't know.
Okay.
But that, yeah, I know at least Passover, and I think other big ones too, like Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, those, the Purim, they all have kind of, it's like too big for one day. So you have multiple days. And then the way that we do the octave is pretty much every day of the week during the octave. So the Easter Sunday and the following days all the way up to the second Sunday of Easter, so it's an 8-day period, we really think of those as being one day. It's like such a big blast, we have to keep celebrating it. And I love that because it really calls us to a contemplative kind of stance, like let's just absorb this and wonder and awe and celebrate before we go try to do a bunch of stuff. I talked about that last time I was on your podcast. But that we're just really celebrating, you know, because it's our salvation. So almost every gospel reading during those 8 days is taken from the day of the Lord's resurrection. So if you look at the stories, they're all like just that first day. I think the one difference is on Friday of that week, it tells the story of Jesus and Peter down by the beach. And that probably comes from later. Then when we get to the second Sunday of Easter, the first part of that reading comes from
spring baked Jesus.
It's the first day still. But then the second part is a week later to Thomas. So that's our transition out of the octave. But the end of the octave does not end the Easter season, because we know from scripture that Jesus didn't just hang out for one day. He hung out for a long time. So we have 50 days of Easter, I think. And that's pretty cool because it's longer than Lent, and there's a message in there. You know, this is even more important than Lent.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really just, the idea is, okay, we're not going to celebrate the Big Bang for 8 days that we did for 8 days. We're not going to do that for all these days, but we are going to remember that the resurrection period lasted more than a week. And we are going to spend this time continuing to celebrate the mystery of our salvation and beginning, I think, to think about what this means for our discipleship. And so we spend a lot of time unpacking the sacrament of baptism, especially during this period, and thinking about its meaning for our discipleship and all of that.
And we get a lot of the epistles and seeing what the apostles and disciples, how they were unpacking what a world looked like
for sure,
for resurrected Jesus. And like, yeah, I mean,
because they are
literally watching the what do we do now? Like, yeah.
They're proclaiming the good news.
Mm-hmm. And doing so, it at fear of torture and persecution and just not caring because the Holy Spirit, because they know they're saved.
Yes. They're witnesses in two ways. In other words, they witnessed, they see, but now they're called to bear witness. So it's both the gift and the task. We witnessed, now we bear witness. And
they're a bear witness.
That's what we're seeing.
Beautiful.
Can I tell you, like, I did this thing, what things we should give up for Easter.
Ooh, this sounds bantery, but I'm in.
That's what I was pulling up. So, yeah, people talk about giving things up for Lent, but here are some things to give up for Easter.
Well, I like it.
Fear and anxiety. Jesus says to the disciples, do not be afraid. So fear and anxiety. Despair. You know, Jesus shows them his hands and his side. And in fact, what we thought was the end is not the end. So to give up despair. Meaninglessness and purposelessness. Jesus says to them, you know, in his resurrection, the Father has sent me, now I send you. So we have a meaning, we have a purpose, we have a task as in his family and as his disciples. Giving up our attachments to the past. You know, Jesus says to Mary Magdalene, stop holding on to me. We have to give up the ways Jesus was. We knew Jesus was yesterday, and that's hard to do, but look for how he is coming to us today. We don't get trapped in the past. Giving up our grudges. Jesus, risen Lord, says, you know, who sins you forgive are forgiven. So that is a specific command to the 12, but there's a spiritual meaning for all of us to let go of our grudges in light of the resurrection. Giving up our unbelief, you know, when he says to Thomas, do not be unbelieving, but believe. Put your finger here and see my hands. Bring your hand and put it in my side. Giving up our sins. You know, that was the point of the Paschal mystery, as St. Paul tells us in Galatians, for freedom Christ has set us free. Do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. So if you got defeated giving up sins in Lent, you know, Easter's not a time to just turn into gluttons. In fact, Easter's full of graces for the overcoming of sin. That's an awesome thing to think about. Giving up our discouragement, because it kind of goes with despair, but not to be discouraged. We remember that Jesus is victor over sin and death, and here's here with us to lean on. Giving up our indifference and our lukewarmness. Jesus says he's coming soon, and he's coming as judge. So we are called during the season to take it seriously, renew our seriousness about being disciples. And then finally, my 10th thing to give up during Easter is the life of isolation. Jesus says, come have breakfast. You know, that's what he says to the disciples. So to give up our life of isolation and join and with others in the church. So those are my 10 things to give up for Easter.
We made a t-shirt that says, come have breakfast. That has Jesus on it.
Holding like a plate of breakfast. It's really great.
Yeah. I'll buy it.
Banter, sorry.
It's all right. Please, I love your banter.
I like your 10 things you should give up for Easter. You should like formalize that and share it. And like people in the world should hear that. That's a really, okay. Like, that's curious. A really good, succinct message that people should learn more. You should Father Meyer that and like make a video and put it out there of you doing that.
I'll try. Father Meyer.
You just clip this if he doesn't do it.
Huh?
I said we can just clip this video and do it if you don't.
Father Meyer, he is a gift for these kinds of things. So
I have a question.
Maybe I'll give it to him and see what he would do with it.
There you go.
He'd love that though.
What inspired you to write that?
Probably a little bit of your own like observation that people like don't know what it means to continue mm-hmm. celebrating Easter. And I think just wanting, I think I've struggled with that myself, you know, and I think allowing the good news to penetrate. I struggle with that as much as anybody. And so maybe I had to preach to myself, you know, allow this to write it out so I can see what is this good news, you know, so I can allow it to penetrate.
The good news to penetrate.
Yeah. Like
that's really awesome. That was really cool.
Thanks
for sharing that. Thanks for just doing it and like being awesome and being like, I want people to know this.
I do.
All right. Do you want to let other people know awesome things?
Yeah.
And dumb questions?
If we're allowed. So will you allow dumb questions, Father? Sorry.
Yes, of course.
Okay. First off, you've talked before about, because I know you're an avid listener of the show. As we talk, you skip the beginning and end, but avid listener.
Not always.
You're a fan, and you've talked about you're a fan of Father Patrick Hides, but you've never met him.
Yeah.
Have you met him yet?
No, I still haven't met him.
He was just there.
He came down there. He came to your church.
To Jasper?
Yes. He tweeted about it. He, on his day off, had heard about your church and wanted to go down and see it. Also, he wanted to go to the Schnitzelbank and get one of his favorite meals.
I wish he would have looked me up.
I know. And I, like, I didn't know he was going, but I saw him post and I was like, I hope he and Father Christian
like, had a Schnitzelbank.
Yeah. I was hoping that, like, you happened to be wandering through the church and just saw a Dominican be bopping around and you were like, wait a second.
I wish I would have. I would love to connect with him. Hopefully I will. But no, that didn't happen.
He didn't listen, but I'll tell him. So.
Okay.
Unless you listen this time, Father, and then there you go. All right. I'm going to make that happen, though, because you two should know each other. You're two of the smartest people I've ever known.
Yeah.
But, like, really good at, like, explaining it to people. Mm. Don't be humble. Stop it.
I will be humble.
I am allowed to say this about you. All right? Anyway, I want you two to know each other. Well, second.
I'd like to meet him.
Yeah.
That's a huge honor to be said in the same sentence because he's really bright. So, thank you.
Yeah. So are you. All right. Sorry, I was going to make a joke about how his vestments are brighter because he's a Dominican and they're white. But anyway. All right. Easter Vigil on the Hill. Like, I'm sure this year you weren't there.
I wasn't there.
Your parish.
I was
yeah.
at the parish.
But when I think Easter Vigil, I think people coming into the church.
Mm-hmm.
But that probably doesn't happen on the Hill, right?
No. I think we talked about this last time, but that's okay. We'll talk about it again.
Oh.
I
mean, last year?
Maybe, I don't know. I'm sure we did at some point. I've been on this podcast so many times.
Sorry. Thank you for your cross to bear, Father.
your
cross.
I
should give up for Easter's this dang podcast.
I don't remember. We don't bring people into the church. So
yeah.
Your question is that weird?
No, not that it's weird. It's I'm wondering, like, and I know that there's so, yeah, like, kind of like in my mind, every experience I've ever had at the vigil, that's the focus. Is like,
that's the focus, right?
That you see these people coming into the church.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, maybe it would be really beautiful to go celebrate the vigil. I'm sure, like, celebrating any.
Somehow we managed.
It's unbelievable, but yeah.
Somehow we managed to make our service longer.
I know that that is probably the case.
even without anybody coming into the church. So that's why I thought we talked about this before, but it must have been somebody else. We make our service even longer than the parish, even though we don't have anybody coming into the
church. How do you do that?
We do, well, a lot of parishes do that, only do like three or four of the readings.
Yeah.
We do them all.
Okay.
Yeah, we did talk about this. Yes.
We do them all. And then we chant yeah. everything. And so it does go a little bit. It's beautiful. You know, we have big fire and then like a big, like, we do bless the holy water font. That's a big moment. Yeah. Easter candle. So we have all that stuff, beautiful singing of the exalted. And, so it's great, but, it's not a, it's different from the parish. We used to bring in a lamb. That was kind of fun.
What's Father Meyer's
Have you taxidermied one?
No, like a live lamb.
Okay.
That was tied up.
I forget what his name is, but he just sent a video of him preaching with it. And
Lamby.
He's like holding it. Did you hear Father Meyer on recently when he talked about how he has the taxidermied lamb? I was like,
I feel like
you should own a lamb.
Sounds like I missed a lot between the taxidermied lamb and the Alleluia. I missed that one.
It's a big episode.
Yeah. He has a taxidermied lamb named Pascal.
Pascal. I think that's right.
Pascal lamb.
My niece used to have a taxidermied deer head that she carried around like one would carry around a teddy bear. And she called it John.
Was it a doe?
John Deere. This is not a joke. They moved into a house. They had been living in California. They moved into a house in Michigan. It was like their Midwest palace. But they moved in, and it came with a taxidermy deer head. And she decided it, like, 6 or 7 years old. That was her new toy.
That's great. She would really love Pascal. That's what I know. I think it's creepy, though. Anyway.
Sure is.
Okay. Les, you were talking earlier about how you were flexing on us about how you listen to lots of Catholic podcasts.
Yeah.
Tell me your favorite Catholic podcasts. I'm going to assume we're number one so that my heart doesn't get broken.
You're number one.
Beyond that, what are your other favorite Catholic podcasts you listen to?
I listen to a few. I don't mind plugging them.
I just think it's good for people to, if people are listening to this, then they like something. Like
this isn't an ad.
No, yeah. Go ahead.
I hope I don't offend anybody because I don't mention them or forgot about it. But I listened to a podcast called Daily Gospel Exegesis, and that's actually really helpful for homilies. So I know a lot of priests listen.
It's a great one.
You don't listen to that already. It's a great podcast. I think it's a guy from Australia, and he.
Yeah. I think we should all pitch in and buy him a new mic, though.
Oh, you listen to it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think it's really good.
Send him this clip.
Yeah. I've been looking for like a Catholic version because I do listen to a couple Protestant like scripture podcasts that are really like rigorous.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite one is the Bible Project, and I know a lot of people know about that, but I think that's very good, and they're pretty responsible. So even though we have a denomination difference, I don't have a hard time recommending it. I think it's pretty good. So those two I listen to a lot. For like Catholic social teaching stuff, I'll listen to New Polity. I think there's a couple guys, I think they're in Steubenville, that do that. I think social teaching is something that I can always learn more about, and they do a really orthodox job of it. And so I like that one. Another one I listen to is, sometimes I listen to it. And I'm no offense if these guys are listening, but I have to fast forward through 10 minutes of banter on this podcast, but then they get to really good stuff. And that's, Every Knee Shall Bow. So
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah,
whoever they are, I hope they're listening. That'd be great.
It's a podcast like about evangelization, and I think it's really good. But you do have to kind of get through like 10 minutes of banter, which can make me a little insane. Oh,
the worst. Who does?
There's another podcast that I will not mention that I finally gave up on because it just had too much banter.
I had no idea you had this curmudgeon buried deep down inside you, and we've like unleashed it.
Oh, I think part of it is just how busy I've gotten, and like with between the parish and the seminary,
yeah,
and just like I don't have time for the 10 minutes you think you need to do before you start what your podcast is about. Mm-hmm. So it can make me a little bit insane.
I'm trying not to just really take this personal, but it's hard.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I get what you're saying. That's why the fast forward button's there.
Yeah. There's another one that I've only listened to like one time. No, I've listened to it twice, and it was both really good, but it also had a lot of banter. And so I told the guy who recommended it to me, I said, next time you give me an episode of this, tell me how much I have to fast forward before they start talking about it. So the three I'm recommending, Daily Gospel Exegesis, New Polity, and Every Knee Shall Bow.
Amazing.
All right. Awesome. All right.
And also for Sunday, which is my all-time favorite Catholic podcast.
Including sometimes the banter.
Do you listen to any non-Catholic podcasts religiously?
The Bible Project.
No, like
just for on like other random topics.
Oh,
Non-religious or scripture related.
While you're thinking, I'm going to throw in the Beatitudes is another really good podcast.
It's a really good one. I have never listened to
very
it.
Very good.
There's a boatload of banter, though. So
it's all banter. Yeah. And then really heartfelt stories.
Not going to listen to it.
Not going to listen.
There's lots of laughing, crying, and joy all mixed in the same thing.
Well, I can't.
It's like a Jim Valvano day.
Okay. I think maybe if it's like, that's the point, then it's okay. Like if I'm there for comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, two non-Catholic podcasts I listen to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
One is The Office Ladies with the Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey from the show The Office.
My wife, loyal listener.
Yeah. And that's comedy podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the show The Office, and it's really funny and it's really lighthearted, and I like listening to that one.
Good for you listening to theirs. The women's podcast.
Yeah.
That was like a big controversial thing when theirs came out, is that some of the guys from The Office also did one.
Oh.
It's like, oh, they're trying to steal their thunder.
I probably listened to that one too. what's the other? Oh, there's a podcast which is kind of amazing, but a little bit niche and nerdy, which is The History of Rock Music in 500 Songs, which this guy has about a 300 IQ, and they say that if he finishes this project, he will have written more words than any human being in history.
Wow.
He puts out like a 2-hour podcast every 2 weeks, and it's super in depth and super nerdy. But I don't know. Did you ever listen to Hardcore History? It was like another.
I used to pick and choose episodes of it.
Yeah. I mean, that guy would put out these like 8-hour epic history podcasts, mm-hmm. but they come out like 4 times a year, you know?
Yeah.
And this guy's doing like 1 a week, you know, or 2 weeks, whatever. It's insane.
Listen to like a business podcast equivalent of that. It's called Acquired. It's really good. But
what are some of your other favorite ones? Beatitudes?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to tell me? Are you afraid to endorse any other Catholic podcasts?
No, I'll endorse stuff. I don't care.
What do you like?
Beatitudes is a good one. I don't listen to a ton of other specifically Catholic podcasts. Uh-huh. Katie McGrady has a show with her husband and on the Hallow app that is like a family mass prep thing, which is kind of fun. It's like this, but geared towards children. And we listen to that on the way to mass sometimes. I listen to a significant amount of like business focused podcasts. So there's the Acquired one. There's another one called by the same people, but they do like the long form version of in-depth history of businesses.
Nice.
Listen to one on Microsoft right now.
But I love that stuff.
Yeah. Then they also do like an interview form podcast about like interviewing founders and things like that.
Yeah.
Which I find really interesting.
I have a hard time with the interview podcasts because they often go like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And so I like can't a lot of the really popular ones that a lot of people like, I don't, mm-hmm. I'm just like, I can't do that. But anyway, what about you?
In the world of Catholic podcasts, I listen to the Pillars podcast. I really enjoyed J.D. Flynn and what's his name? Ed Condon. Yeah. So I enjoy theirs. There's not a lot of other specifically cat, like I'll get into streaks on the Hallow app or something where I'm listening to something, but I love sports, but my life has gotten way too busy for me to actually like sit and watch sports as much as I want. So I end up listening to a lot of like college basketball podcasts or NFL podcasts or sports related podcasts where like I can get a glimpse at like what's going on in the NBA world, but in 45 minutes rather than having to like watch all the games and stuff.
Right.
You know, that sounds, but, and then my other like guilty pleasure podcast is called Fly on the Wall with Dana Carvey and David Spade.
Oh, I bet that's good.
It's fantastic. It's really, really good. And the two of them, it started as they interview people like former cast members and SNL,
yeah,
like alum, And now it's just kind of grown into they interview anyone, but they it, like hosts and, but they talk SNL. And yeah, it's, I really enjoy it. It's kind of, it's, that's one that like when we're on long road trips and everyone else in the car is sleeping or doing something else, I'll put a headphone in and just enroll like 10 episodes of that in a row because it's always fascinating.
Oh, that's a good rec. I love, I think podcasts are like almost good enough to justify the internet. I mean, like there's so much junk out that has like been produced in mass media and social media, but podcasts are just the best, man. Yeah. They're the best.
Oh, one of my other favorite Catholic podcasts is Gen X, or Catholic Gen X.
Oh, don't forget Gen X Catholic. Mm-hmm. Gen X Priest. Isn't it Gen
Catholic,
X Priest?
Catholic Gen X. No, Catholic Gen X is Father Peter's podcast.
Oh, is that what it's called? I'd forgotten.
Yeah. If you don't like banter, be ready. yeah. But it, yeah, they've actually been putting more episodes out. Peter. So
yeah,
they we could also buy them some mics, but they it's yeah. I try very hard to listen.
I bet it's good. I need to listen to that.
The conversations are incredible if you can hear them.
Okay. Very good.
All right.
That was a little bit of a slam there.
I say it to him too. I just need to get better microphones.
Okay.
All right, Father.
This
thank you for
fun talk.
Absolutely. Yeah. Appreciate okay. you. God All bless.
Right. Bye-bye. Bye.
It's all right, cause I'm all set for. It's all right, cause I'm all set for. It's all right, cause I'm all set for Sunday.